Live from the center of Bolito on a Thursday afternoon, the Beach Boys medley. Well, I mean, it's not exactly a Beach Boys weather or the beach weather right now. It's kind of more red wine weather, which is why we're sitting here with our regular Tops Wine of the Week and a special treat. Eamon has brought with him a guest from Antoine Rupert Wyn. It's Vernon van der Werven. Lovely to have you both in the studio
this afternoon.
Thank you.
And lovely to have your wine here in front of us. Gee, because this makes the cold weather just even more special, does it not?
It makes it much warmer, Dave.
Yeah. Excellent. So let's talk, because I was under the impression we were just simply going to sample one wine of the week this week, which is the Terra del Capo Groene Kloof Arne Merlot. And there's an interesting word that I've never heard before, Sangiovese.
That's it, Dave. It's a lovely blend. But while I have Vernon here as a special guest, the actual winemaker who makes the wine,
wow,
I'm going to let him do all the talking.
Brilliant. Well, over to you. What makes this wine, selected by our friend from Tops at Lifestyle, the wine of the week?
Okay, so as you said there, Terra del Capo is our Italian-inspired range we're doing, and the one we're looking at today is the Arne. So it's a co-fermentation of Merlot and Sangiovese. So as you mentioned, a word you've never heard, Sangiovese. So
it does sound very Italian.
It is definitely Italian. So Sangiovese is probably the most well-known red cultivar in Italy. The chances are, if you ask any restaurant or any place in Italy for a glass of dry red, you'll end up with a Sangiovese. So
not when you come to South Africa, though. It's a different story.
No, definitely. So Anthony Rupert himself, he was the first guy to actually bring in Sangiovese from Italy. So he didn't bring in the wine or the grapes. He literally brought in the plant material and had that replanted, regrafted, and we've been growing Sangiovese for a long while.
To bring in plant material, do you have to bring in the rootstock or what?
Right. So you bring in the rootstock and the vine itself. So with vines, they usually planted the cultivar on top of the rootstock. The rootstock being a different cultivar, if you can call it that, because it's more protected against the environment of the soils, or whether it's insects or whichever conditions that you might find.
But so then he brought in both.
Yeah, so you usually bring it in as a parcel, as one plant. So
already grafted onto the rootstock.
Already grafted.
So all you had to do really is plant it and hope for the best.
Right. So what you do is you take it to a nursery, and they will then use cuttings from that and multiply it until.
So how long has the entire process taken to introduce?
It takes some time, because it needs to go through quarantine and all of those paperwork.
And then the vines have got to grow and produce wine,
exactly.
Grapes.
Yeah,
this is not a short-term venture.
No, definitely not. So. I'm not exactly sure the date that he brought it in, but as I said, we've been doing Sangiovese for quite some time.
Okay, and you reckon you've got it right now?
I hope so.
So why don't we have a little splash, Eamon?
Definitely.
And then we can while you're pouring, let's talk. What are we going to be tasting in terms of the notes? I've got the notes in front of me, but I want to check. You're the boss.
So we've been talking a lot about the Sangiovese itself, but just keep in mind that this is a co-fermentation of Merlot and Sangiovese, 50-50. So with that, it means literally the grapes, the juice, was started off in the same tank. It's not a blend. It's not a Sangiovese blended with a Merlot. It's co-fermentation.
Okay.
So
it's interesting that you should even raise that, because I would have assumed it would make no difference, but it obviously does.
It does. So we've done trials. I've done testings where I've blended the two, or tried to blend it together. It's just not the same. It's as if you start a marriage from the start when you add those cultivars together, when it's still juice form. And you can't get to the same kind of results by blending it at the end of the day.
Okay.
So as I've explained to him as well, what we do is the co-fermentation. So we have the Merlot that hangs a little bit later. You've got a little bit more riper Merlot, because it needs to wait for the Sangiovese to get to the proper ripeness. And with that, you've got a nice, bold, rich flavor. And
is it sweeter then?
It's not sweet. The perception is just bigger and fuller in your mouth. It's got nothing to do with the sugar itself. The grape itself will be sweeter when you pick it, but of course during fermentation you lose all of that sugar and you end up with drier wine. So Sangiovese tends to have a really dried out and a dusty tannin. And with adding the Merlot and co-fermenting like that, you just get the roundness. And as I say, it adds nice and hips.
Nice hips to it.
I've cheated. I couldn't wait any longer. I had a pre-taste taste. Yeah. And straight away, I was very impressed with the well, it's a I find it extremely exciting, the complexity. Just to refresh the memory again. You know, one taste is never enough.
But that's
it's not too strange as a South African palate.
No.
You know, I would imagine that if you hit the Sangiovese straight on, you'd notice a big difference. But this, I think, brings it a little bit closer to what you're used to.
Definitely. And as I said, with the Sangiovese, when you do a cultivar on its own, it's not a strange taste. It's just the palate structure is different from what we're used to, whether it's a Bordeaux wine or a Rhone-style Syrah or whichever it might be. Because of the tannin being so focused and linear, it seems a little bit calmer on the palate. But even on this wine, you'll taste that the Sangiovese's tannin sticks right to the end of the palate. It just reminds you that, listen, I'm still part of this blend, where the Merlot is right up in front, in your face, and it's got a nice, as I said, roundness, boldness to it. And then the Sangiovese just lingers at the back of the palate.
Interesting. I'm just reading your tasting notes that the palate is first restrained before revealing juicy red plums, ripe cherries, brushed with, and here is the thing, peppery spice. There, and it's delightful.
It is. It's so soft. It's so soft and easy drinking, Dave. I love this wine when I first tasted it back in 2019.
And
I thought it was delicious.
The layers of fruit intertwined with cedar and oak tannin. And we were talking, we've been talking for a while about possibly the fact that the South African wine lover is now going more towards the fruit, less towards the wood. This is an interesting combination.
Definitely. So in regards with the fruit, so I only use about 15% new oak. It depends on the vintage. The reason for that being as well is the fact that I want to preserve that freshness, the fruit, and show you exactly where the grapes are from and what it can do. So I leave it on the oak for about 10 months, more or less, 10 to 12, it depends on the vintage. And with that, you just have that touch of oak that gives you that kind of structure to lead the fruit forward.
Wow. Well, it is absolutely delightful. Terra del Capo, it's the Arne, a very special combination of Merlot and Sangiovese. This is a 2020 cultivar and available at Tops at Spa right now.
That's it, Dave.
Are you going to be doing a tasting this weekend?
We will be, Dave. Same as time as usual, Saturday, Sunday, between 12 and 2 on both days. And the price, $175.99.
Ah.
And I think it's worth
I was going to suggest that was going to be north of $200 a bottle any day of the week. And at that price, you got to buy not a bottle, a case at least.
Yeah, I'm telling you, at least.
No, it's a very lovely conversation piece because it is so different.
It is. It's totally different. I think, as Vernon said, with that cultivar, that the way it's blended together, that marriage of the Sangiovese and the Merlot, makes it totally different to some of the wines that we tasted previously.
This is such an easily drinkable red wine. I'm sure it would pair beautifully with all sorts of wonderful red meat dishes, cold weather dishes. But I'm enjoying it just as it is, as very happy good afternoon. How are you? And love to you all. So, but now we've got a treat, folks. Simply because Vernon is in the studio and he happens to be the creator of an exquisite bottle of. Well, let's just play a little tune here while we change glasses, and we'll keep you on tenterhooks because there's something else very special coming up. It's the second wine of the week. So hang on to your hat.
Can throw out all the blues.
Georgie Benson. There's a real pedigree classic, a timeless classic. Give me the night. Well, I tell you what, if you give me the night and a bottle of this incredible Cape of Good Hope Syrah, 2018 cultivar that Vernon van der Hoeven, our very special winemaker from Anthony Rupert Wines, who's in the studio with Eamon from Tops at Lifestyle and me. Vernon is the creator of this unbelievably exquisite red wine. Tell us about it.
Okay, so the one we're having next is the Cape of Good Hope Syrah 2018. And our Cape of Good Hope range is what we call, it's focused on the site-specific wines. So if we're looking at the Riebeeks Rivier, which is one of our farms we own in the Swartland, on that farm you get two different soil types, mainly schist, which is layman's terms decomposed granite, and clay soils.
You have to say that word quite carefully on the radio, yeah, otherwise schist. You get lots of complaints.
That's the first one.
It's schist, folks. It's an extra.
So, of course, the Syrah is a combination of that clay and, let's call it then, the decomposed granite.
No, you can call it. I love the word.
Schist.
I have to be careful how to say that with my accent.
So, with the Syrah, as I explained to you guys briefly, my whole view on Syrah is to make it more, let's call it Rhone style. It's more elegant. It's more perfume. There's red fruit. There's violets. There's a little bit of lavender. And the whole idea is to not have it overcomplicated. And it, bear in mind, it's not a Shiraz. It's not a peppery, spicy, heavy wine. And it's meant to be a Syrah. And with that, I use absolutely new oak. Absolutely no new oak. And it's four full barrels. And I keep it in there for about 18 months. And the reason for that is you need the oak for structure and depth. But I want to preserve that red fruit, you know, that perfume, that floralness. And I believe this is exactly what you get in the glass.
Yeah, you captured it. I think,
you know, I captured it. It takes the breath away. It's like a wander through the perfumed gardens. It's that sensational. So it's obviously the taste is marvelous, but it's the entire experience. Really exciting. And well, here's the trick. I don't think it's available in store right now, is it?
We haven't got it in yet, Dave. It should arrive hopefully early next week.
So it's coming.
It's coming. It's coming.
In fairly decent numbers, or is it a limited edition?
We'll order it in a couple of cases, and then we'll take it from there depending on what the customer reaction will be to it. But wow. For a Syrah, and a Syrah is my favorite wine.
This is going to fly. Shiraz. It's going to absolutely. In fact, I suggest that you place a pre-order with Eamon right now, because this is not going to last. The first consignment is going to go in days.
In days. Yeah. It will do. It will do. It's absolutely stunning. It's such. Vernon, I don't know how you do it, but
thank you.
Your magic at the vineyards, and it's just unbelievable. I think it's absolutely stunning.
Well, and how delighted are we to feature on the afternoon show on the Wine of the Week slot. Fantastic edition. So there's two exquisite wines. If you didn't manage to catch the entire episode of the Wine of the Week, don't worry. It'll be up as a podcast before the end of the day, and you'll be able to catch up, as I say, with all of the information that you require. Terra del Capo is going to be on tasting rotation at Tops this weekend from 12 to 2, both Saturdays and Sunday. And then we've got a competition that is still very much front and center. So give us the good news.
Well, Dave, the competition that we're running at the moment is for that wonderful Smeg Bar Fridge. It's a branded Smeg Fridge with Victoria Gin. And all you have to do is purchase any Victoria Gin, Honor Cognac, Pravda Vodka, or Fireball. Write your name and phone number on the back of the till slip and place it in the entry box at the back of the tills, and you're in it to win that lovely fridge.
And these competitions are hugely popular because you're not really pushing the envelope. All you're doing is going in and buying what you like. And then as an added incentive, you just literally add your details to the till slip. And as Eamon says, you're in it to win it. And there's always going to be some delighted customer at the end of the exercise. And if you don't manage to win this one, well, the competitions tend to keep on keeping on. So there's lots to look forward to at Tops at Lifestyle. But these two excellent red wines. Oh, 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 oh. And now I'm not going to be able to read the news at 5. Not a chance. But it does make it a little bit more palatable. Perfect. So a huge thanks to our very special guest, Vernon van der Hoeven from Anthony Rupert Wine. Lovely to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And great talent. Lovely to feature such great talent. Eamon, thank you for bringing us the wines of the week. No, and we will catch up in no doubt a week's time.
Yes, definitely.
For another edition of the Wine of the Week from Tops at Lifestyle.
Perfect.
And the show continues. Here's Robbie Williams with Advertising Space.